This morning, America's First News starts right after this. When shopping for car insurance, consider this. GEICO has been saving people money on car insurance for over 75 years. So if you're serious about savings, it's simple. Go to GEICO.com. After 75 years, they know how to save you money.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
The Cleveland search grows. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka, Tuesday, April 18. Thanks for joining us. Here's what's up this hour.
The manhunt is now nationwide for a murder suspect who authorities accuse of fatally shooting an elderly man in Cleveland and posting a video of it in Facebook.
Vice President Mike Pence is in Japan today to discuss threats from North Korea. Hear the latest defiant rhetoric from the North.
There's a special election in Georgia today to fill a House seat. Will it be a referendum on President Trump?
And how to manage the new trend of your colleagues hugging each other at the office.
I think that the workplace has gotten a little bit more casual in recent years, and kind of the lines between work and life are starting to blur. So some CEOs and employees have told me, you know, they're trying to kind of be more authentic at work, take off that proverbial mask and eliminate that separation. And for some people, that means hugs.
Wall Street Journal reporter Rachel Feinsiegun coping with a touchy-feely office when that's not your style. She's here in about 20 minutes. Authorities are still looking for a man they say posted a video of himself on Facebook fatally shooting an elderly man in Cleveland. They even tried to persuade the suspect, Steve Stevens, to surrender when they spoke with him on his cell phone Sunday after the shooting. This is the latest video clip of a violent crime to turn up on Facebook, raising questions about how the company monitors content. The video was available on Facebook for nearly 2 hours before it was reported. Police said Mr. Stevens posted a video of him killing 74-year-old Robert Godwin Sr., who was seen standing on a sidewalk carrying a plastic shopping bag. Debbie Godwin is one of his daughters.
What makes it harder is to know that people are taking the video of his murder and just sharing it as if he's not human. Mm-hmm. That's my father. That's our father. That's their grandfather.
Mr. Stevens, who has no prior criminal record, is not suspected in any other murders, despite claiming he's killed more than a dozen others. Vice President Mike Pence is reassuring Japan of America's commitment to rein in North Korea's nuclear and missile ambitions. Speaking in Tokyo earlier today, after arriving from South Korea, he said U.S. strikes in Syria and Afghanistan showed the strength of its resolve. Mr. Pence also warned North Korea that the era of strategic patience was over. There could be tougher sanctions like an oil embargo, a global ban on North Korea's airline, intercepting cargo ships, and punishing Chinese banks doing business with Pyongyang.
China has taken some initial steps to bring economic and diplomatic pressure on North Korea, and we welcome those steps. It's heartening to see China take these actions, and we're hopeful that they will do more in the days ahead.
U.S. officials say greater Chinese cooperation is vital. The North has conducted a series of missile and nuclear tests in defiance of U.N. sanctions, the most recent one on Sunday, even though it failed. And its vice foreign minister told the BBC that missiles would continue to be tested on a, quote, weekly, monthly, and yearly basis. Well, Georgia today is holding a special election for a House seat, an election that will test whether newly energized Democrats can snatch a seat from the GOP. It's the seat vacated by Tom Price, now the Health and Human Services Secretary. 11 Republicans are running. The leading Democrat is a political newcomer named John Ossoff. Meanwhile, robocalls in support of the Republican seat are even coming from President Trump.
Liberal Democrats from outside of Georgia are spending millions and millions of dollars trying to take your Republican congressional seat away from you. Don't let them do it.
Wall Street Journal reporter Natalie Andrews has been tracking the race and joins us with more. Natalie, give us the background.
John Ossoff has kind of captured all of this Democratic energy. It's one of those districts that Democrats, when they looked at the demographics, they thought, hey, we might be able to win here. So they've really focused on this race. And John Ossoff has raised a staggering $8.3 million for this first quarter that ended in March. So it's the money has captured attention and headlines. The fact that Democrats really thought that the demographics had changed enough to be in their favor has really caught some interest, because the other special elections are set to go to Republicans.
All right, this is being called a jungle election. What exactly does that mean?
So the jungle primary idea is that everyone's in the same pot. You don't have a primary for Democrats. You don't have a primary for Republicans. Everybody goes in the same pot. If one candidate gets over 50% of the vote, that's your House representative. But if no one gets over 50% of the vote, then the top two candidates go into a runoff election that will be in June.
So we have John Ossoff on the Democratic side. Any front runners on the Republican side?
So Karen Handel she's a former Georgia Secretary of State, and she's led in quite a few polls. The third place Republican has kind of changed a little bit and has about 10% of the support. But Karen Handel, she regularly has about 20-25, I think was the peak of support. And then John Ossoff, as comparison, the last poll, he was at 41%. So he's consistently out ahead. It's just a matter of whether or not he's going to hit that 50%.
We're speaking with Wall Street Journal reporter Natalie Andrews about this special House race in Georgia today. What are the two sides expecting and saying heading into this race?
So it's really all about the 50% mark. Should the 50% mark not happen for Ossoff, he's going to run a straight race against a Republican. Republicans won't be switching the vote or won't be splitting the vote so many ways. And so Ossoff's chances really decline if he doesn't get 50% today, because Republicans can coalesce. And also you'd have to continue this energy and really continue voter turnout again in June. And that's difficult to do.
Does the fact that Mr. Ossoff got most of his money from out of state mean anything?
That's been a major attack point for Republicans, that 97% of his money has come from outside causes. But Democrats see it more as, hey, look, we've had all this energy post-election, and we're putting it into this race to show that we can flip the House and put it into play in 2018.
So what are we expecting from voter turnout?
Democrats really turned out at first when early voting came out, but then Republicans started showing up, and both the Democratic Congressional Committee and the Republican Congressional Committee side, so much of their effort has been focused on voter turnout, because that's really where you'll make a difference. When I've talked to the organizations, they say we've never put this much effort into voter turnout for a congressional race. It's just about that 50% mark. I mean, if he doesn't get it, then you're in a more straighter race and voter turnout will be even more difficult. So I think there's a general thought that it could go to a Republican if Ossoff doesn't win it today.
Thanks, Natalie. Wall Street Journal reporter Natalie Andrews. It's 14 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. You don't often find the words business and friendly in the same sentence, let alone the same state. Unless, of course, you're talking about Michigan. Michigan's business-friendly practices help to become a leader in industries that range from agribusiness and cybersecurity to aerospace and defense. In fact, Michigan is ranked among the top 10 states for major new and expanded facilities, which makes Michigan more than business-friendly. It makes Michigan business smart. To learn more, visit MichiganBusiness.org, because helping business grow is pure Michigan. Glad you're with us on this Tuesday. Two death row inmates in Arkansas are still alive this morning, spared at the last minute by the state Supreme Court. The two men were scheduled to be put to death last night. We get more from This Morning's Mike Gavin.
In a 4-3 decision, Arkansas's highest court stayed the executions of Bruce Ward and Don Davis, each of whom had spent more than 20 years on death row. Their lawyers had raised questions about their mental competency. Meanwhile, a federal appeals court overruled a lower court decision that had blocked the state's original plan to put 8 inmates to death in an 11-day period. The next executions are scheduled for Thursday. The New York Times says the court rulings do not affect 5 other executions that are scheduled this month at the Cummins unit located in the city of Varner. Gordon.
Thank you, Mike. It's 20 minutes after the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koshenka is here with more of America's First News.
Gordon, the U.S. and Japan today agreed to structure their economic dialogue around 3 areas, including trade standards, but the framework didn't specifically target what President Trump has described as Japanese trade barriers. The agreement on the future course of the dialogue came at a meeting in Tokyo between Vice President Mike Pence and Japan's Deputy Prime Minister.
We're reviewing all our trade agreements across the world to ensure that they benefit our economy as much as they benefit our trading partners.
The three pillars of activity in the dialogue will be a common strategy on trade and investment rules, cooperation in economic and structural policies, and cooperation in specific sectors to promote job creation. Chinese Foreign Minister Wang made a new appeal for calm on the Korean Peninsula today and says he believes the U.S. would prefer a diplomatic resolution to the standoff. Wang told reporters that although U.S. officials have made clear that a military strike remains on the table, he believes that Washington would still prefer to de-escalate tensions through multi-sided talks. Wang's comments came amid a mounting war of words between Washington and Pyongyang. President Trump's top aides will meet today to discuss whether or not the U.S. should remain part of the Paris Climate Accord. The non-binding international agreement went into effect in November after it was ratified by countries including the U.S. and China. Trump's top advisors are currently divided on the issue. The president has pledged during the campaign to pull out of the Paris Accord, but has wavered on the issue since he won the presidency. The fate of the Furious has solidified its spot as the biggest global opener of all time, with $532 million worldwide. The previous record holder, Star Wars The Force Awakens, launched with $529 million globally in 2015. Domestically, though, the Fates of the Furious was the second highest opener of the series, right behind 2015's Furious 7. Holdovers populated the rest of the top five at the box office over the weekend, with The Boss Baby in second and Beauty and the Beast in third place.
Both of those combined pulled in about $400 because everybody else was watching The Fate and the Furious, or The Fate of the Furious.
You wouldn't think that anybody could outdo Star Wars. This is kind of shocking.
I agree completely, especially since it's not the first one.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? Mm-hmm. Thank you, Jen. 22 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Time now for a business update, and it's brought to you by the Michigan Economic Development Corporation, where helping business grow is pure Michigan. Is the American office getting more touchy-feely? If this is the culture at your workplace, how do you adjust if this isn't your style? Here's This Morning's Jennifer Koshenka.
As handshakes give way to bear hugs, and in some corners of the corporate world, what do you do if you're not a hugger? Rachel Feinzig of the Wall Street Journal is here to give us some tips. Rachel, why is there more hugging in the office going on these days?
I mean, I think that the workplace has gotten a little bit more casual in recent years, and kind of the lines between work and life are starting to blur. So some CEOs and employees have told me, you know, they're trying to kind of be more authentic at work, take off that proverbial mask and eliminate that separation. And for some people, that means hugs.
Is it possible that germs have something to do with this, with people shaking hands and all these stories coming out about, you know, icky things passing around?
I don't know. I mean, one CEO that I talked to was at a business event, and there was a local government official there who was actually touching elbows because he had a cold. And instead, he went in for the embrace. So I'm not sure that it's like an effective way of reducing the spread of germs, to be honest.
Rachel, is this men hugging men hugging women hugging women, or all of the above?
All of the above. In fact, lawyers say that you really should be an equal opportunity hugger. So you should not just be hugging one gender. If you are a hugger, you should kind of spread it around regardless of gender.
But does this not open some people up to possible lawsuits or something going awry?
There was recently a case that involved kind of unwelcome hugging. It's set to go to trial next year. So this is something that some lawyers are cautioning their corporate clients about. The lawyer that I talked to urges people not to initiate hugs in the office. And he has some tips for kind of more staid and appropriate hugs. You definitely don't want to linger too much.
We're speaking with Rachel Feinzig of the Wall Street Journal. All right, you're on the receiving end and you don't want to be. What do you do?
Okay, so a workplace expert, Allison Green, who writes the Ask a Manager blog, suggested either holding something in front of you if you know that there's a hugger nearby, and also kind of turning to the side can help to shield as well.
Does that put you off with your boss, though? Could that get you in some kind of trouble?
I mean, I guess it depends who your boss is. I mean, most of the CEOs that I talked to said there's no hard feelings. If they know someone is a non-hugger, they'll go in for the handshake. And all of the huggers that I talked to said they can kind of read when someone's not a hugger. But funnily enough, as Allison pointed out, the huggers all say that they can tell if someone's not a hugger. But according to the non-huggers, that's not true.
All right. Are we talking about a hug for a job well done, a hug if you haven't seen anyone for a long time? Where are these hugs being meted out?
It depends on the company. Sometimes it's because you haven't seen someone in a while. Sometimes it's because you received a great performance review and you just immediately need to embrace your manager. At Ted Baker, which is a luxury clothing brand, the CEO has a circle around his desk that's the hug zone. And if you stand in there, then you automatically get a hug. So it just really depends.
The hug zone. This morning's Jennifer Koshenka with Wall Street Journal reporter Rachel Feinsig. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. Like us on Facebook or send us an email thismorning@compassmedianetworks.com.
Glad you could be with us on this Tuesday, April 18. Gordon Deal with Jennifer Koshenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. Cleveland authorities expand their manhunt for a killer. Two death row inmates spared for now in Arkansas. Vice President Pence reassures Japan regarding North Korea. Today is tax day. An Army helicopter crashed on a Maryland golf course, killing one crew member. Supreme Court Justice Neil Gorsuch is active on his first day on the bench. New York City may require Uber to offer the option to tip drivers. And getting arrested as part of your promposal. That story in about 20 minutes. Well, he led the Freedom Caucus's revolts against the GOP plans to change Obamacare. Now, Republican Congressman Mark Meadows is back in North Carolina during the spring recess to face his constituents. Eliza Collins of USA Today joins us now with his story. Eliza, what kind of reception is Mr. Meadows getting in his home state?
He is getting a very positive reception. I spent 2 days with him last week on the trail, and he didn't do any town halls, which is kind of where I think we would imagine that he'd get a little bit more of a negative reception just because there's a lot more people in a room and organized efforts. But he traveled, had meetings, he met with sheriffs, he met with local business owners, and everybody in rural North Carolina really likes him. I say everybody, but everybody he met with that we were around.
Is he getting criticized for holding town halls?
He's getting criticized by Democrats. His district is a very Republican district, but there is sort of a pocket of Asheville, North Carolina, which is the more progressive city in the state, and people there are really unhappy. They're trying to get him to come to a town hall. His office says we only have town halls in August, which is pretty convenient because it is not August right now. But he is getting criticized from that part of the state, I guess, more of the Asheville progressive movement. But the rest of his constituents are happy and content with him coming by, you know, their factory and touring.
How do they feel about him holding out on Obamacare?
They're glad, but I talked to many of them, and they don't quite understand exactly what he's doing or why he's doing it, but they trust him. And that was a really interesting thing I figured out by talking to these people. He is a very hyper-local politician when he's there. He's on the ground. You know, someone told me he called when her baby was due. He knew the baby's due date. Someone else said he came to, you know, a funeral. They think of him as a member of their community, and so when he's in Washington, they just trust that he's doing the right thing because they feel he understands their community so well. And so they don't quite understand why he held it up, but they feel like there was a good reason behind it because he's the guy who's helping them get a fire station and things like that.
We're speaking with USA Today reporter Eliza Collins. Her piece is called Congressman Mark Meadows Banking His Constituents' Faith Will Extend to Him. Where is he scoring points with voters?
Well, really, he's scoring points with voters by being this hyper-local politician I just said earlier. They feel like he understands them and the needs of their community. We went to a radio interview with the local radio station. It's the news director, the mayor, the conservative mayor in rural North Carolina. And he was basically, they were chatting before, and Mark Meadows was like, oh, I heard you got a new Bojangles, which is a fast food restaurant. And, oh, I'll come by this weekend and go to church. Like, that's how they think of him, as someone who knows when a new restaurant opens up in the area and who, if he's passing through on Sunday, he's going to come to church with you. That's really where he's scoring those points, and they translate to policy and things like that. They just trust him. And that was, I think, a very interesting insight I got from talking to people from all over the district.
How big is immigration going to be for his reelection?
I think this is a big one coming up. I don't think his constituents, or at least the ones I talked to, quite realize what a big one coming up is. But his district is very agriculture heavy. They produce some of the most Christmas trees in the nation, and North Carolina is in the top, I believe, three states in the country for Christmas trees. They produce apples. They produce all kinds of things. And so to do those things, they need immigrant labor, and a lot of it's seasonal, but their communities really rely heavily on immigrants, and they're worried about people. I had a Republican mayor tell me, we're worried about ICE, you know, Immigration and Customs and Border Enforcement, showing up on the farms and taking people away and not being able to finish, you know, their work.
Thanks, Eliza. Eliza Collins from USA Today. It's 21 minutes now in front of the hour. On This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Tuesday. Beyond the headlines now, this morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories he'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, we all know that a lot of people have been keeping an eye on April the giraffe for the past few months, but now we know just how many, and it's an astonishing number. The long-awaited arrival of April's baby made the Animal Adventure Park the second most live-viewed channel in YouTube's history. YouTube says that April's live stream had more than 232 million live views and 7.6 billion minutes of live watch time since February. Can you imagine that? Second only to Legend of League of Legends Esports, which has been around since 2012. The channel had its biggest day on Saturday with more than 14 million live views. More than 1.2 million viewers were watching the live stream simultaneously on YouTube when April gave birth Saturday morning, making it one of the top five watched moments. The not yet named male baby giraffe was running around with its mother within 3 hours of birth at the private zoo located 130 miles northwest of New York City.
Well, those are some numbers.
The one that floored me was the 7.6 billion minutes. That means
right. People
were just, you know, they turned it on and they just left it on, right? They were just sitting there like at their desks at work and home or on their phones, you know, and just sitting there watching it.
Has the Earth even been around that long? 7.6 billion minutes?
Yeah, exactly.
We've exceeded the Earth's existence by watching April the giraffe.
Yes, and of course, conveniently, she took a long time to have the baby.
Yes.
So that's stretch things out for,
about a billion minutes,
right? Yeah.
Just alone.
At least. Yeah.
The hype. Yeah. That was quite the story. While I was away on vacation, guess how much buzz I heard about April the giraffe?
Let's see.
None.
Yeah, your phone was probably tucked away someplace,
right? Zero. But good for them.
Nobody on the beach there in Florida talking about April the giraffe? No.
It did not come up at all. but spectacular for that park.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
And what they did with that.
Yeah.
Just spectacular.
And now they're raising money, I guess, they're raising money with the name of April's baby now. You can pay $1 to submit a name. And, of course, it's going to go to take care of April and other programs that they do and that kind of thing. So
one thing leads to another. As the music into this segment offered us, right?
Apropos, indeed.
Very good.
And here's one of those stories, Gordon, where we start to question what we would do in this situation. An Ohio man says he was trying to set a good example for his children when he turned in $14,000 he found on the side of the road. Columbus TV reports that Jake Bowers found the money April 8th as he drove his family to a park in Worthington, a Columbus suburb. Bowers said when he initially saw the bag on the roadside, he thought it might contain somebody's laptop. Instead, it was filled with $100 bills. Bowers took the bag to a Worthington police station and it was returned to its owner. A police report says the owner had taken the cash to a car dealer but left without buying a vehicle. He told police he must have left it on top of his car and driven off.
Oh, because that's what you do with 14 grand in cash. You just put it on your roof for a second while you do what? What's more important than 14 grand in cash?
Yes.
Put it in the car.
That's why they make things called cashier's checks,
right,
by the way.
Banker's checks.
Right,
yes.
Right. Because it seems like whenever anybody is walking around with that much cash, they wind up losing it. We do these stories almost weekly about someone losing a big wad of cash, right?
Buy the card on credit card.
Something.
Take the miles you've earned and pay it immediately off with the 14 grand in
cash.
There
you go.
Right?
Yeah, something tells me this guy's not up on all the personal finance tips.
By the way, what if this guy's kids were not with him?
Oh, so huh? Yeah,
because
right.
He said he was trying to send a message to his kids about the right thing to do.
Exactly.
Because he could have just announced, kids, you're each getting $100 allowance for the next umpteen years.
Yes.
Right?
Or daddy's coming home in a new car. The new car this other guy was supposed to get.
That's right. Wow. Thank you, Mike. 13 minutes now in front of the hour. On This Morning, America's First News.
The powerful performance and incredible battery life of new Dell PCs with Intel Core processors empower small business employees to do their best work wherever work takes them. Dell's U.S.-based small business advisors and price match guarantee mean you'll always get the best deal on the right solution tailored to your business needs. Powerful PCs are just the beginning of a great partnership. Call 877-BUY-DELL now to contact a Dell small business advisor today. That's 877-BUY-DELL.
8 minutes in front of the hour. On This Morning, Jennifer Koshenka is back with more of America's First News.
According to the manhunt is widening for a murder suspect who police say posted a video of himself on Facebook shooting an elderly man in Cleveland, where authorities appealed to the public for help in the case. Cleveland Police Chief Calvin Williams says authorities have received dozens and dozens of tips for possible sightings of the suspect, Steve Stevens, and tried to persuade him to surrender when they spoke to him via his cell phone on Sunday after the shooting.
This is what we would consider a national search for Steve. So we are not going to leave any stone unturned.
The shooting marks the latest video clip of a violent crime to turn up on Facebook, raising questions about how the world's biggest social media network moderates content. The top court in Arkansas has halted the executions of two inmates scheduled for last night, thwarting plans by Governor Asa Hutchinson to put to death six men before the state's lethal injection drugs expire at the end of the month. The Arkansas Supreme Court agreed in two orders to postpone the executions pending the outcome of a case in the U.S. Supreme Court. Arkansas Senator Tom Cotton faced a combative group of constituents at a town hall yesterday, taking heat from a room of people voicing their frustrations with what has been an eventful start to President Trump's presidency. The room erupted into boos when Cotton repeated Trump's defense that the president will not release his taxes while under IRS audit.
As far as I'm aware, the president says he's still under audit. And he said he's going to release them or not. But he's also...
At one point during the town hall in Little Rock, the crowd erupted into a lock him up chant when discussing Trump's foreign policy. How about this for growth? Netflix is on the verge of surpassing 100 million global subscribers, a testament to how much the video streaming service has changed the entertainment landscape since its debut a decade ago. The company will reach that milestone this weekend if its projections are correct. Netflix added nearly 5 million subscribers during the first 3 months of the year and will end March with 98.7 million customers in 190 countries.
Goodness gracious.
Remember when they used to mail the discs to your house? Come a long way. They've really reinvented themselves.
Great call. They still don't offer live sports, though, right?
Live sports? I don't think
so. Yeah, it's still a struggle for me to watch Netflix. Thanks, Jen. 6 minutes now in front of the hour. On This Morning, America's First News. Well, as promposals go, this one was a bust, literally. The Huffington Post says a police dash cam video posted on Facebook shows a Georgia police officer stopping two teens in a white pickup truck in Peachtree City. The video shows the officer explaining that he pulled the truck over because a decal was obstructing the tag. It's all a setup. The officer asked the people in the truck to get out. The driver's a teen boy. Passenger's a girl around the same age. The officer eventually places the boy in handcuffs. At that point, the girl starts to look worried. Cop comes back with bags of what he claims appears to be marijuana. But one of the bags has a small slip of paper in it. And after looking at the note, a large smile crosses the girl's face. She laughs and says, "Oh my God, this is not funny." The boy then brings out a sign that says, "Prom, say yes or you're under arrest." The parents of the teens gave police permission to post the video on his Facebook page. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.